What's your favorite food? Imagine someone has set it before you, but you've already eaten a big meal. You have a choice to eat more and be really full, or to save it until later when it's cold and yucky, or to pleasantly decline because you're really full already. For some, that's not a difficult decision, but for others who love food, that can be challenging. What if the offer is money? A lot of money. You don't have to do much for it, and you're not really sure if it's earned honestly, but the money, you could really use that. Maybe that decision would be a little more difficult to make. That's what James is talking about when he said, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In this passage, God is saying a lot about himself and us. God's blessings reveal his character, and his character reveals his behavior. His blessings involve his presence, provision, protection, peace, and promises, spoken and fulfilled. Think about all he's done for us already. What does the verse in James say about us? That we're able to be patient and perseverant. If we're patient, we're able to accept or tolerate delays and problems or sufferings without becoming angry or annoyed or anxious. That doesn't always sound like me, does it you? What about perseverant? To have this quality, we're willing to continue moving forward in spite of difficulties or setbacks, and we endure or make all efforts necessary to find solutions to challenges. That certainly sounds like my husband, John. Do you know anyone like that? But it seems that these two qualities, patience and perseverance, are essential if we're going to successfully deal with testing and temptation. But what's the difference between these two things? According to Thomas A. Torrance from the C.S. Lewis Institute, temptation is an enticement to act in disobedience to God's will. Its sources are the world, the flesh, and the devil. A test is a situation that God sends or allows in our life with the intention of revealing our loyalties, motivations, character, and commitment to God. They help to purify and strengthen and mature us. If successfully passed, a test also glorifies God. And both are a part of the Christian life. Jesus faced them, as we see, when he was led into the wilderness and tempted by Satan to turn stones into loaves of bread to satisfy his hunger, throw himself off the temple in order to be rescued by angels to confirm his miraculous power, to kneel before Satan and surrender his position with the Father for earthly status and praise. Jesus steadfastly declined each one, having the Word of God as food, being secure in his relationship with the Father, not needing to test him for position or power, and being committed to unity with the Father, and together they would fulfill the divine plan. Similarly, he was able to endure testing. This high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he himself faced all the testings we do, yet he did not sin. We see this in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed earnestly, My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Was Jesus wanting to give up? Was he wanting to avoid the horror of the cross and the physical and emotional suffering it would bring? Was he wanting to surrender his role as Savior of the world? No. Rather, he was saying, Father, when I'm carrying the sin of the world, you must turn your face away from me, and our perfect and eternal unity will be severed for that time as I'm covered in the filth of the world. But obedience to the Father was his first priority and central to his mission. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, and not to do my own will. For this he faced testing and once again proved his loyalty to the Heavenly Father. How can this speak to us? God wants to test our loyalty as well, and he explains that we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And how else can he know if we love him so completely unless he allows testing in our lives that will challenge our commitment and dedication to him? He did this with the children of Israel during their time in the wilderness, and they failed every time because of their selfishness. We see this that Jesus tested Philip to see if he trusted Jesus to provide for the crowd, and Andrew had greater faith than Philip did. Thus, beloved, we can expect testing, and we can trust that since he himself, Jesus, has gone through suffering and testing, he's able to help us when we are being tested. But what about temptation? How do we handle this? And the important thing to remember is that temptation is not from God. James explains, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful action. When sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Temptations are only invitations to turn away from God and serve our flesh. Like that invitation to eat our favorite food when we're already full, or to take the money we didn't earn. It's an offer to do what is wrong and contrary to God's will and plan for us. And we're given a choice if we'll indulge the flesh or resist the devil and have him flee. For God is passionate that the spirit he's placed within us should be faithful to him. Further, temptations are persistent. The enemy is aware of human weakness and keeps poking and prodding to see if we'll succumb. And that's why our life in Christ is called a race. It's a marathon, not a pleasant stroll. Like the surfer's marathon, we have to be prepared to cross rocky rivers and shores and sandy beaches as well as smooth highways if we're going to reach the finish line. What if we stumble? The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. A stumble doesn't disqualify us from the race. No matter bloody knees or aching muscles, we can get up and keep running. Jesus explains that temptations are inevitable. They're going to happen. But Jesus instructs his sleepy disciples to keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Before this, he taught them to pray to the Heavenly Father, "Don't let us yield or surrender or give in to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." He also showed them in the parable of the sower and the seed that they needed to keep watch on the condition of their hearts, teaching that seeds sown on rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and then they fall away when they face temptation. He also explained that a forgiving heart is essential. That's a heart that's able to resist temptation. Further, he's already prepared us and given us the tools to deal with temptation and promised to be with us through it. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than we can stand. And when we're tempted, he will show us a way out so that we can endure. There's so much here. God is always loyal to us and never abandons us, no matter what we've gone through. He says to Satan, "This far and no farther," as he did when Satan tempted Job. Finally, he's right there to show us the path of escape. We only have to take it. It's important to remember that temptations come to everyone. As Paul explains, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And they're also personal, tailored to our specific weaknesses, for temptations come from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Thus, what may be a weakness for me may not cause a ripple in you, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Paul found that Christ's power works perfect in weakness. And like the men and women of faith, our weakness can be turned to strength. And we become strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. This is the most important truth of all. Temptations are defeatable, for we have our victory in Christ Jesus. And this is the victory we must walk in to ensure that we're not dragged away. To stop sin from taking root and growing, we have to stand firm at the temptation stage. From temptation itself isn't sin, it's an invitation and one we can forcefully decline. If we find ourselves accepting any invitations, then our strength is too small and we need to fortify ourselves that these temptations cannot get their hooks into us. Well, how do we do that? If it's a persistent weakness, one that's ever before us and we've fallen into repeatedly, we need to train ourselves to do the opposite. The warrior King David prays God that he trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. This suggests continuous training so that at any given time he's able to repel an enemy strike. By recognizing our weaknesses and avoiding situations or people that place these temptations before us, we can overcome. Further, when we face temptation, we need to watch and pray, for the Holy Spirit has a solution and will show us a way out. And we need to endure that we are not given the enemy any foothold. We've not answered the door when he comes knocking. We should only open the door to Jesus, our King, who promises us wonderful joy ahead when we successfully endure many trials. That's the blessing he offers, the crown of life, and we can rejoice in his goodness. God bless you.